take your Bibles on this first Sunday of 2022. And I started a series, a mini series last week, just simply entitled Adjustments. Say adjustments. Say adjustments. I looked at last week strategic life adjustments, because adjustments have to be made in our lives to be people of faith, to be people that understand the times and know what we ought to do. And this morning I want to speak to you about simpler life adjustments. A couple weeks ago, right at the start of December, I didn't even really sense that I was supposed to speak in this series yet, but I watched one of my favorite TV shows. Now, it's arguably, and I'm biased, but arguably one of the greatest TV shows in history has to be the Andy Griffith Show, right? I mean, there's so many truths that are always portrayed by Andy Griffith and Don Knotts as Barney Fife. For the first 10 years of my life, I thought Barney Fife's name was Barney Five. I would say to my mom and dad, Barney Five. It's Barney Fife. There was an Assemblies of God minister that could have been Barney Fife's twin. And I used to say, look, there's Pastor Fife, when I would see him when I was a little boy. Ron Howard, a movie director now. They starred in this show. And I saw this episode that I was reminded of when I prepared for this message. It's one of my favorites because it starts out in the church. And the whole entourage of the Griffith family, Aunt Bee, Barney Fife, Andy, and Opie, were in the church. And they were very excited because they were going to hire a visiting minister by the name of Dr. Breen. Trivia question. Does anybody know the church name that the Griffith family attended? It was called All Souls Church, interestingly enough. Must have been charismatic, so I love that. But in the middle of the message, Dr. Breen was talking about taking it easy, if you will. And in his sermon, he said, quote, consider how we live our lives today. Everything is run, run, run. We bolt our breakfast, we scan the headlines, we race to the office, the full schedule in the split second. These are the gauges of success. We drive ourselves from morn to night. We have forgotten the meaning of the word relaxation. What has become of the old-fashioned ways, the simple pleasures of the past? Who can forget the example, the old-fashioned band concert at twilight on the village green, the joy, the serenity of just sitting and listening? We should strive to recapture the simple, innocent pleasure. And so I say to you, dear friends, relax, slow down, and take it easy. And at this point, Barney, the camera pans to Barney, and he's listening to this preacher's soft voice, and it's soothing him, and Barney starts to get cross-eyed and fall asleep. Some of you can relate with that, right? But the fact of the matter is, Dr. Breen raises his voice, and Barney jumps up when Dr. Breen says, what's your hurry? I would submit to you that much what happened in that episode. They all went back to Aunt Bee's house and Andy's house, and what they talked about could be played out today. They started to talk about the sermon, and then they decided after dinner, you know what? Why don't we reassemble the town bandstand and rebuild the band, or re-sew the band uniforms? And what you might suspect was they got so busy by the end of the afternoon, they had all become worn out and exhausted. The comical point is what? You can work too hard to try and simplify your life. And in this simple message of adjustments, even on a snowy Sunday morning in Brighton, Michigan, I think that we all ought to hear it today, that we do need to simplify. Jesus' teaching to his disciples was to keep things simple. We hear the acronym KISS, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. But just because you are simple doesn't mean you're stupid. The fact of the matter is that in your life, in my life, there is a beauty in simplicity. And in the fast-paced culture that we live in, We need to recognize and rediscover that you and I can lean towards simplicity. And if Jesus were here in first person, he's here by the power of the Holy Spirit, I would submit to you that he would look at the way that we live for a couple days and he would counsel us as we move into 2022. Brad Trask, Brighton Assembly of God, slow down and lighten up. Fact of the matter is, there was a group of people called the Shakers. And they were a small religious group, kind of out of the Mennonite, the Amish background. And they existed in New England in the 18th and 19th century. They got their name because they were in the habit of dancing around and shaking in religious ecstasy. And they had some outlandish beliefs. And the fact of the matter was that many times they were criticized, but they had a simple way of living that was refreshing. They wrote a hymn, the Shakers did, and you see the words that are on the screen. "'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we won't be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right." Thomas a Kempis, the old medieval saint, he said these words, and he wrote these words, "By two things man is lifted from the things of earth, simplicity and purity." When you look at the lifestyle of Jesus this morning, church, I would submit to you, you learn that he is a master of simplicity. And he gives us in this passage we'll study today, he gives us four simple rules. How many of you like simple rules? I do. Four simple rules for living a simpler life in 2022. Stand with me for the reading of the word. Would you do that? I want to pick up reading as Jesus sends out his disciples in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. He sends out his 12 disciples, two by two, and look what he says. Verse number 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. Say, cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing, say take nothing. You'll see why I'm asking you to repeat these. Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet. I want you to say that, shake the dust off. Shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed. Because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, "I beheaded John. Who then is this? Is this I hear such things about?" And he tried to see him. Four simple rules for living today. And I want you to know, I've preached this message to myself this past week and previous weeks as I prepared more than anybody else. But I want you to look with me and be open by the power of the Spirit. Those of you that are watching online are present. Over these next 20 minutes, that you'd say, "Lord, let your Spirit speak to me. Are there some realms of my life that I need to simplify for 2022? Would you pray with me? If you don't mind, if it doesn't upset you too much, just lift a hand to the Lord with me. Would you do that? Lord, I pray over your people today. I pray that there would be a grace in this message. Lord, you saw the people that are going to watch online and those that were even going to be present in the middle of a pretty substantial snow. And Lord, Your word is powerful and effective, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So we commit ourselves to you today. Let your word have its effect in our lives. In a few minutes when we go, Lord, I pray that we'll look back and we'll say, you know what? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Lord, if you can't speak through me, beginning again in 2022, would you speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love in Jesus' mighty and glorious name. And all God's people would say, amen, amen and amen. You may be seated. Four ways to simplify our lives. Number one is a simple approach. Say approach. A simple approach to discipleship. Go preach and heal. Jesus said there, he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority to drive out all demons. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, the word says. The theme of chapter 9 of Luke's gospel is really the cost of discipleship. As Jesus sent out these 12 on their first mission, he told them, concentrate on two things. He told them to heal the sick and to preach the good news. And that's what exactly what Jesus would have us to do as a church individually. The word disciple, say disciple. Disciple means follower. Jesus was simply telling them what they had seen him doing is what they ought to be doing. Going out and touching people and teaching them the word of God. That's our job as a church in 2022. First, we're to go. I'm glad that Jesus never set up a ministry compound and required everybody to come to where he was. He was constantly walking around that region of Nazareth, going to where the people were. And our call is still to go today. There's empty seats here today. It's a snowy day, but there's empty seats on a regular basis in most Assemblies of God churches. And that tells us that we've got room for us to go and reach and tell people, come and learn of Jesus. But we're going to have to go to where the hurting people are at and tell them about Christ. If we don't, we can't claim to be the church of Jesus Christ. God sent them into this world, and now Jesus has sent us out into the world. The night before Jesus was crucified, he prayed these words concerning us today, 2022. John's Gospel 17:18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. I wouldn't classify myself, albeit I have a doctorate in ministry. I'm the furthest thing from a profound theologian. But I've read plenty of theologians. Karl Barth, Paul Tinnick, if you will, Wolfgang Pannenberg, Rudolf Bultmann, you name them. I probably read something from them. But I like what the old evangelist Billy Sunday used to say. Look at his quote. I've seen a 10-point buck run through a stand of trees that seemed like they were inches apart without ever touching a tree with his antlers. That's pretty amazing. But it's more amazing to read through 300 pages of some theological textbook in which the theologian never gets close to touching the simple truth of the Bible. My job as a pastor, I would submit to you, is to try and make God's word simple or simpler to God's people. And sometimes theologians can miss the point. One of those theologians that I mentioned, Karl Barth, he was asked one time in a seminary setting, you know what, what's the greatest truth that you've ever studied and heard about in the Word of God? And Barth thought for a few moments, and then he said, the greatest theological statement that I've ever heard is this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's a pretty simple statement. And we're to deliver the same. A twofold task that we're to have is that we're not to repeat the four spiritual laws first and foremost. We're not to know a 12-step or an 18-step program or task or pilgrimage to go on. You and I are told, go to where the hurting people are at and help them and tell them that I love them. When you don't know what else to say. In 2022, to people that are wrestling with COVID in a nation that is split by their politics, whether to vax or not, mask or not, can I tell you, just let the person of Jesus resonate from your life and tell them that Christ loves them. Secondly, job one, simple approach to discipleship, go preach and heal. The second idea is, a simple attitude towards possessions, right there in that passage. And the message is, don't let stuff slow you down. He told them, take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Do you know of somebody that tends to overpack when you take a trip? I do. I'm one of them. You know, here's my packing advice for people that go with Dan and Joy on a missions trip. As COVID lifts in the next year or two, there's going to be missions opportunities. Can I tell you, here's my packing advice when you go on the mission field. Pack what you think you'll need and then take half of it out of your suitcase. That's pretty simple. But notice the packing instructions that Jesus gave. He didn't say pack light. He didn't say pack light. He said, for their mission, they weren't to pack anything at all. They weren't even to take a suitcase, extra clothes or food or money or even a walking stick. Look at it there. And some people have misunderstood this passage to mean we should never prepare for ministry. That's not what the word says there. Jesus wasn't teaching that we're not to prepare for ministry because he says in his word, any man that builds a tower, that he should count the cost to see whether he has enough to build it or not. Or if he goes to battle, whether he has enough soldiers to be able to be victorious. But what he was teaching them in this passage was this. He was teaching them to trust their relationship with him more than their resources. Since they couldn't take any money, they'd have to depend on his word that strangers would show hospitality. Since they couldn't take any food, they would have to really pray, give us this day our daily bread. Since they couldn't even take a walking stick, they would have to depend upon Jesus for their strength and their long journey. And Jesus sent them into an environment of need that was requiring faith and obedience. I would submit to you, the ultimate test for a Christian, right, in 2022, it's not how much you know. The key is, when it comes to your relationship with God, is how much do you trust him? Conversely, what do? We pack our suitcases so overflowing because we love our precious stuff. But when we're loaded down with our own stuff, we often depend upon our possessions rather than on God. It's good preaching, whether you like it or not. Are you trusting God to provide for your needs in 2022? Or are you trusting your job, your bank balance, your securities portfolio, your 401k to meet your need? Jesus issues a strong warning later on in this book. You know what he says? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Living a life of simplicity demands we love God rather than possessions. Have you ever, those of you that have ever been to France, have you ever taken a tour of Versailles where Louis XIV, the French king, resided? He builds this opulent life of luxury. And of course, the main palace is stunning in its beauty, its size, its ornate nature of it. But the royal family has so much money, they even build a smaller palace on the same property to return to, called the two palaces are the Grand Trianon and the petite, smaller Trion. So they could retreat to this small palace when they wanted to leave the main palace. And nearby, they would go in and they made even a little French village to be able to play in. Can I ask, is it any wonder that the French Revolution took place? Because the starving royals, just forgot about the people that were starving when they observed their extravagance. I would submit to you, even amidst COVID, America in the 21st century has many, in many respects, still lives very wastefully. We have our gadgets. We have the ability to accumulate our lives. One of the fastest growing industries over the last 30 years is what? The storage business. We don't even have enough room, so we rent storage areas to be able to keep more stuff. And there's a simple approach to discipleship, and there's a simple attitude towards possessions. Thirdly, what's the simple way to live? A simple act to deal with failure. Can I just tell you? It's probably not going to get a lot of amen, so I preface it by saying this. In 2022, if Jesus tarry, you're going to experience some failures. Okay? How many of you knew that? Say amen. Look what Jesus said. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. A simple act. First approach, attitude is second, then an act. An act to deal with failure is shake the dust off and move on. Jesus told the disciples that if they weren't accepted in a certain village, shake the dust off your feet and move on. Shake the dust off so it's a testimony against them. And many times people have misunderstood those instructions. Hey, curse the people. You know what? If they don't receive it, hey, the fact is just let them go. That's not what Jesus was saying. Jesus intended them to hear this because there was a good chance and the odds were that people at times weren't going to receive their message. And the fact is that later on in that chapter, the disciples testified, hey, should we really rain down curses because these people wouldn't let us enter? And Jesus said, you know what? Don't do that. What Jesus was conveying, church, is shake the dust off your clothes. And he was teaching a spiritual principle and preparing them for failure. The fact is that they were going to face rejection, and if they felt like they had failed because they were rejected, Jesus said, don't get embittered. Don't move forward with that antagonistic attitude. Don't let the bitterness of rejection or their lack of faith remain a part of you. And Jesus wants their feelings to not bog them down. And I would submit to you that many times this next year, there's going to be an attitude where you're going to have the opportunity to say, you know what, I blew it, or hey, what's the use? Jay Strack wrote a book entitled Shake the Dust Off. And Jay was physically and emotionally abused as a child. He started doing drugs when he was 13. And by the time he's 16, he was hooked and dealing drugs for his habit. He was busted as a teenage junkie, and he was convicted as a criminal. And it took him a long time as he gave his life to Jesus to shake the dust off his feet. But in his book, he writes this. Look at the quote. As long as you remain a prisoner to your past, you'll never know the freedom of the future. You can't spend the rest of your life sitting in the ashes of devastation, crying over what went wrong. You don't have to carry around the dirt of your past mistakes. Get up, shake the dust off the dust, and go on. I would submit to you, church, that some of us have to do that even today. You look back over 2021 and there's been some failures, there's been some misgivings. And the enemy, the Bible says that Satan, one of his nicknames is that he is an accuser of the brethren. He looks at your life and he wants you to believe that you can't make it. And the fact of the matter is the Spirit of God is saying to you today, don't live in the past. Shake the dust off and go on because he is with us. We are not alone. Amen? Amen. Judas. Look at some of the best followers of Jesus. They stumbled. The only difference between Judas and Peter was that the fact is that these men failed, but Peter, he recognized his mistake. He got up, he shook the dust off of his failure, and he moved on. The word says, Proverbs 24:16, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again, but the wicked are brought down by calamity. Maybe you've fallen. Maybe you failed. Don't become a victim. Be a victor. Don't become a victim of your past. Say, Lord, this is a new day. I'm going to trust you today. Last idea. Simple approach. Say approach. Say it nice and loud. Attitude. Say act. And a simple ambition to discover who Jesus is. It's interesting in this passage. It goes from the narrative about Jesus speaking to the disciples. And then all of a sudden, in verse number 7, the scene shifts to the disciples. And it shifts to the palace of Herod Antipas. What a contrast. And Herod was extremely troubled about what he had been hearing about this itinerant preacher, Jesus. Jesus in Nazareth. Months earlier, Herod imprisoned and beheaded John the Baptist. Rumors are flying around that John had come back from the dead. But look what he says, verse 9. But I beheaded John. Who then is this that I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, it'll record that the day that Jesus was crucified, Pilate sent Jesus before this same Herod, who was visiting Jerusalem during the Passover. Same man. And Herod wanted to see Jesus perform a miracle. So he asked him questions. And Jesus stood there silently and refused to answer Herod. And in mockery, Herod puts a royal robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate to be crucified. And from these two scenes, we can see Herod was obsessed with this question. Who is Jesus? Herod's question expresses, Brighton, in my opinion, the bottom line that everybody's got to answer for 2022. Who is Jesus? You'll have to answer that question in this life or the next. I would submit to you, don't answer the historical way. Jesus was this Jewish prophet who lived and taught 2,000 years ago. Don't answer it with the theological answer, as great as that is. Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to answer it personally. So let me rephrase the question, if you will. Who is Jesus to you? When you can answer that question, you've answered the most important question in life. The Apostle Paul was a one-topic preacher. He wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, "For I have resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Can you say that today? Those of you watching online, can you say that? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know what he did for you when he was crucified? And life can get pretty complicated for all of us. But if you can answer that simple question and make knowing Jesus the primary ambition in 2022, your life will be blessed for all eternity. A simple approach, a simple act, a simple attitude, a simple desire in our lives. What a way to live. And I want to live with that approach today, simplistically saying, Lord, it's all about you. Would you stand with me as we close this service? And I close with this illustration. And then we're going to pray for you. You see a picture on the screen of a great conductor. And one time, Arturo Toscanini was conducting Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. The orchestra was playing as one man. And as the great music soared to this dramatic conclusion, the audience stood to their feet and cheered Toscanini and the symphony. Toscanini bowed towards the audience, and the applause grew louder, and then it picked up even more, and the applause went on for a couple more minutes. He pointed to the orchestra, Toscanini did. And the cheers were increasing. And Toscanini, when the cheers were going forward, he leaned forward into the orchestra pit so that the different members of the symphony could hear what he was saying. And he leaned forward and he said, "Gentlemen, you are nothing." And they weren't surprised, because Toscanini was a tough conductor and he expected perfection of his musicians. Then he said, "Gentlemen, I am nothing." And that surprised the orchestra, because they knew he had an enormous ego. And in the midst of those cheers, he said, "Gentlemen, Beethoven is everything, everything, everything." As we begin 2022, if I could leave you with one thought this morning to simplify your life, to adjust as we move into 2022, it'd be in the midst of this busy, crazy world, remember, you're nothing. I'm nothing. Jesus is everything, everything, everything. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, if you're watching online, would you go to that part of our website, BrightonAG/next? We'll introduce you how you can become a follower of Jesus. It's very, very simple. You surrender your life to Christ and just say, "Lord, not only be my Savior, Jesus, be my Lord. I'll follow you all the days of my life."